All right, hour number three of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Leanna in this morning as Sean Sullivan takes a little time off after those runoff elections on Tuesday. And joining us, just like he does every Thursday morning, Robert Kennedy Jr. on the line. Robert, how are you this morning?
Doing good, Dalton. Doing good, Leanna. How y'all holding up?
Hey, we're holding up here at FM Talk 106.5. And I want to remind everyone they can send us a text, 251-343-0106, the text line for our studio here. But, Robert, it was a big Tuesday across the state, and especially down here in southwest Alabama, where we had more to vote on than most of the rest of the state. That still only amounted to about three races for Mobile and Baldwin counties. But, of course, the biggest news nationally, Tommy Tuberville routed Jeff Sessions in their Republican Senate primary runoff, earning about 61% of the vote to Sessions' 39%. Now, Sean had Congressman Byrne in yesterday, and he didn't seem too surprised by it. Were you surprised by the results on Tuesday?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. You know, we've talked about this since Senator Sessions announced that he was going to enter this race and enter it late. It was always going to be hard for him to overcome the weight of the president basically just beating him up. And I know Sean and I had some fairly good ping pong matches on air about how Senator Sessions kind of put himself in the position of being the punching bag because he didn't kind of bow up and more aggressively respond to the president earlier in the session. So basically he was in a no-win situation. And at the point that he got to the runoff, Tommy Tuberville winning was essentially a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, and Sessions, he did start to hit back late at the president, but really only after maybe with a month to go until Tuesday. That was, he waited that long before he started striking back, and it came mostly on Twitter. He did say some during some of his interviews. He fought back against the president's take some too. But I was surprised by the how big Tuberville won the race by. I mean, you look at the map of Alabama, and Sessions only won three counties. His home county of Madison County is where he had maybe the biggest win. He also won, not his hometown of Madison, but his hometown of Wilcox County. He had a slight win, not many votes there anyway. Madison County, he won by nearly 6,000 votes. But right here in Mobile, the now home of Jeff Sessions, he only picked up Mobile by about 1,500 votes. I thought he might do a little bit better right here in Mobile.
Yeah, you would think that those of us here locally in Mobile County know him a little bit better. But again, it's the combination of what the president was doing, and it wasn't like he was just doing it during the campaign season. He literally started beating him up while he was still a sitting attorney general. And then you couple that with some of the very direct campaign commercials that literally had Coach Tuberville questioning his manhood. You know, it's just it was just too big of a burden to overcome. And so, like I said initially, and like Representative Byrne said yesterday, he virtually had no chance, even when he started at the very beginning.
Yeah, and as some of those polls started coming out that said Tuberville had about a 20-point lead on Sessions, I was thinking, man, this must be coming from Tuberville's camp. I don't see how he could win by 20 points in a state where Sessions has, you know, dominated for decades. But that turned out to be the case. And afterwards, you mentioned it got pretty dirty. There was a lot of mudslinging involved, and they were both going after each other, calling each other weak. But Sessions, during his speech after he ended up losing, he gave props to Tommy Tuberville and also to President Trump. Were you surprised by that at all, or is that pretty standard in these kinds of races?
Well, you know, we often talk about those of us, you know, who grew up in church, and we try to do the Christian thing, and, you know, Senator Sessions did that last night. I'm telling you that if it was me personally, and somebody had come at me like that, sure, I may support him, but I probably would have gotten a couple swings going down before the final bell sounded. But, you know.
And Congressman Byrne, of course, he entered the race much earlier than Jeff Sessions did, and listening to him on Sean yesterday, I couldn't help but feel that he felt he would have had a better chance against Tuberville than Sessions did.
Yeah, well, I have to put on my political sciences hat to evaluate that situation, and I actually agree with Representative Byrne's assessment. So for me, sitting in the chair on the Democratic side, what I would fear the most is a classical Republican who has a record in this particular district, and the weight of the president behind him. So nothing is kind of outside of the center of the target. So if that ends up happening, obviously that traditional Republican would have wind in his or her sails going into the general election. And so he would have been a much more formidable opponent than what I believe Tommy Tuberville is going to be in a general election. And so even though he came in third during the primary and, you know, filled out the runoff, truth be told, he may have been the individual who is most competitive.
And it's interesting because, if I remember correctly, the president attended, was it the LSU-Alabama game? He attended some big event with Congressman Byrne. I wonder if this had been a Byrne-Tuberville runoff instead, if the president would have backed Byrne instead of the former Auburn coach.
Well, I think the president invariably is going to back the person that he thinks is most capable of winning.
Right, yeah.
And so if in that scenario that had been Representative Byrne, then again, because of support he had showed him previously, there's no reason to think that it would have gone in another direction. And to a certain extent, it would probably have been easier to support Representative Byrne than it would have been to support Coach Tuberville, because Representative Byrne does have a record of supporting the president, whereas Tubby Tuberville is just saying the words.
Right. And now, I mean, pretty much immediately after Tuberville's win was announced, and it was announced early. I mean, polls closed at 7 p.m., and the first announcement came from this site, Decision Desk HQ. I think it came in at 7:32, so just 30 minutes after the polls closed, they announced that Tuberville won. That was followed closely by the Associated Press also calling the race. But not much thereafter, the Alabama Democratic Party on Twitter and Doug Jones started getting after Tuberville. So what are you expecting from now till November? I mean, we thought we saw mudslinging during the primary runoff. Do you think they're going to be going after each other here?
Well, you already know the answer to that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you talked about what was coming out of the Democratic Party, and it was to be expected. But I was surprised to see a Club for Growth commercial attacking Senator Jones on broadcast this early in the cycle. And so I think that the stage has been set. I think you'll probably see many more super PACs that are coming after Senator Jones, you know, kind of during the summer and early fall period, than you see the Democrats coming out after Coach Tuberville. But once you get past Labor Day and into October, yeah, all bets are going to be off, and it's going to be a mud fest.
Yeah, and with Tuberville, you know, over the last few months, he kind of, and we've used a lot of football analogies with him being a former Auburn head coach, but he kind of kneeled on the ball. He knew he had the poll numbers. He knew he had the president's backing. Didn't do a whole lot of media appearances. Even going into going into Tuesday, I think Monday night, they had a virtual town hall where the president came on and spoke with Tuberville supporters. But reading around, they didn't even alert the media to that town hall. They just let voters know that they were going to have that. Can he do that during this part of the race, or do you think Tuberville is going to need to get out more, do more interviews, try to get on Fox News more, or do you think, you know, in this classically red state over these last few decades, that he thinks kind of the same thing going into the race against Sessions, that he has all the votes he needs and just needs to not screw it up?
Okay, I'm going to answer this question two ways. So the first is as answering the question directly, and then the second is I'll give you my perspective in terms of sitting in a Democratic chair.
Okay.
So from a political scientist perspective, he wants to stay quiet and run out the clock as long as he can, as long as, you know, they don't fumble while they're trying to run out the clock,
right,
or, you know, you have some field goals happen or an onside kick gets recovered, et cetera, et cetera. So if you were to use the numbers that Representative Byrne was using yesterday, which was referencing the results that happened in 2018, which had Alabama defined as a 60-40 state, 60% Republican, 40% Democrat, then you can say from a political sciences perspective that that philosophy may work. Now, as I shift from that and I sit in my Democratic chair, I don't actually think the 60-40 split is indicative of where we are right now. I actually think we're probably closer to 56-44.
Okay.
And that's with the two numbers coming closer towards each other. So if at the end of the day, things continue to happen in the world related to COVID, things continue to happen in the world related to race relations, those numbers can continue to converge. And so if you get closer to, say, 53-47, going into the general election day, now all bets are off. And it's that convergence coupled with stuff that could come out in the proverbial October surprise sense.
Right.
You think of the special election 2017 with former Chief Justice Roy Moore, then all of a sudden, if he has not put anything out and he has chosen not to engage to do media, then Senator Jones has a very good chance of shocking the world, not once, but twice.
That would be so interesting. So in your opinion, you said you think Alabama's moved left a little bit. You think it's these recent events here in America, the race protests and the coronavirus response, you think that's the main indicator, or do you think it's what Jones has done since he's taken office?
I actually don't think it's either. So if you were to look at the trend lines over time, and you were to go from 2016 to 2018, what you've seen is this kind of convergence. It's folks kind of coming towards the middle. And so if you looked at the numbers that existed during Hillary Clinton's general election, it would have been 36% Democrat and then the balance on the Republican side. And you saw that 4-point shift between 16 and 18.
Yeah.
And so I think there's another natural 4-point shift that's happening between 18 and 20 that doesn't have anything to do with anybody. Now, if you actually start to dissect Senator Jones's record, and you were only to listen to what Representative Byrne said yesterday, you would think that he had never voted in a moderate position on anything ever. But if you actually dissect his record, what you find is that he has had 17 bipartisan bills that he sponsored that were ultimately signed by the president. And that's part of the reason why he was able to win the bipartisan award that was given out by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, not exactly a left-leaning organization.
Right.
And so if Senator Jones's staff is able to package that and get that information out, yes, there are things that are typical hot-button issues with Republicans in the state of Alabama, but that business community up in Birmingham and Huntsville that are really focused on a person's ability to get things done and to bring resources to the state of Alabama, some of those folks may be talking about supporting the president, but they may ultimately end up voting for Senator Jones. And that's what I think makes this particular race very competitive.
Gotcha. And, you know, in a November election season where there's a lot on the line for both parties, I think this Senate race could be, you know, one of the leading stories in the national news, whether Doug Jones can keep his seat in a place that has traditionally elected Republicans over the last few decades. Coming back with you, Robert, I do want to talk about the other big race in our area, a couple big races. AL1 had the Democratic primary runoff and Republican runoff with Carl winning. We'll talk about that when we get back. Also, Governor Ivey issues a statewide mask ordinance. I want to get into that, too. You're listening to Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig with Leanna and Robert Kennedy Jr. on the line with us. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, we talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. You don't want to miss it. Hey, thank you, Kane. 8:24 on Mobile Mornings. This is FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Leanna in on this Thursday. Sean taking a little time off after the elections. And congratulations again to Michael Josh Patrick. He wins the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Photo Contest. We're going to give him a nice FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team shirt for winning that. And coming up later today, Leanna, or tomorrow,
yes,
we start the next week.
Yes, later on after the show, I'll put up the next post.
All right.
So start the next week.
So get those fishing photos ready and get your family and friends ready to vote for you. And you could be the next winner of the Ultra Rare Fishing Team T-shirt. Talking and continuing our conversation with Robert Kennedy Jr. Robert, we broke down the Senate primary runoff that last segment, but another big race down here in Mobile, a couple big races, for the AL1 congressional seat, which Senator Byrne is, of course, leaving as he entered the Senate race earlier this year. And Jerry Carl with the big win over Bill Hightower. I think that was the closest race we had in the state of Alabama on Tuesday. Carl wins 52.3% of the vote to Hightower's 47.7%. But you look at the breakdown by county, and it really was Mobile County that brought Jerry Carl through to the win. He got about 5,000 more votes than Hightower in Mobile and ended up winning the election by 4,000 votes. Asked you if it was a surprise that Tuberville beat Sessions. You said it wasn't. Was the Carl win a surprise for you on Tuesday?
It was not a surprise. when we went through the whole primary process, you know about the things we did on the Democratic side in terms of interviewing the candidates as well as facilitating the debate. But we did observe the Republican forums and the Republican debates as well. And it seemed like those two in particular were standing out from the initial pack of candidates. And so I knew it would be close. And I would have predicted that ultimately it came down to Mobile County.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking at what Commissioner Carl has done versus what State Senator Hightower has done. And I think the votes reflect that, right? So just a little bit more on the Jerry Carl side. So no surprises there for me.
Yeah, and Carl, of course, Mobile County Commissioner, probably a little more name recognition, at least in this county. Mm-hmm. But this is another race where, just like the Senate race between Tuberville and Sessions, they went after each other really hard during this race. I mean, mudslinging to the maximum. And Hightower, of course, was backed by Club for Growth, and Club for Growth batted about 666 on Tuesday. Two of their three candidates won. Hightower, the only one not to win. The mudslinging, do you think that played a role in this race at all, or do you think it was a wash because both were going after each other so hard?
I think it was a complete wash, and not only under the umbrella of negative advertising, but what they were essentially arguing was the other one didn't support Trump enough.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it literally just balanced out with each other. So now, one of them had done it and the other one had not. Maybe that may have made a difference, but the way that both of them chose to position their campaigns, it essentially ended as a tie.
Right. And now with Carl winning the Republican seat there, the Republican AL1 candidacy, it doesn't mean exactly that he will be the next congressman from Southwest Alabama, because he still has a race on his hands. James Averhart beats Keani Gardner in the Democratic runoff, and Averhart gets about 56% of the vote to Keani Gardner's 44% of the vote. Tell me a little bit about this race and what you were expecting going into Tuesday.
Sure. You know, coming out of the primary, I have to give credit to all three of the primary candidates, Dr. Averhart, Dr. Gardner, and Mr. Rick Collins. But if you looked at a breakdown of the numbers, Mr. Rick Collins' group had a tendency to be a little bit more in the moderate conservative wing, which is where Dr. Averhart sat as well. And I believe that the main part of that group ended up breaking for Dr. Averhart, and that coupled with the fact that there was a school board race,
mm-hmm.
In Mobile County as well, actually put some additional wind in Dr. Averhart's sails. And so I actually think the numbers were reflective of where the electorate was the entire time. I just think that you didn't no longer have that split between Mr. Collins and Dr. Averhart, and that's what I think ended up being the difference.
Okay, that makes sense. And then as we look forward to November, and you look at the turnout, which 17.2 or 17.6% turnout for the state of Alabama, that was much higher than any of us here predicted for the turnout. But when you look at this race, I think Averhart and Gardner, they pulled about 27,000 votes, 28,000 votes total. And you look at Carl and Hightower's race, that's around 85,000 total votes. It's going to take a Herculean effort for Dr. Averhart to pull off the upset, right?
It's much more challenging. The statewide demographics, as I was referring to on the Senate race, actually favor Senator Jones in a way that the local first congressional district does not favor Chief Warrant Officer Averhart. Where I think there's an interesting dynamic that plays in this one, and it all comes to what ultimately ends up happening with President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So if something happens and all of a sudden people decide to stay home, so you don't have as many traditional Republican voters turn out, that coupled with the momentum that Dr. Averhart has been establishing coming out of the primary can make this much more interesting. But I'll be the first to admit that at least right here today, the demographics are much more challenging than it would be for statewide.
Right, and we have less than a minute here. You know, we had debates that we broadcast right here on this station, both on the Republican side and Democratic side. Any chance that Averhart and Carl debate before November, in your opinion?
That's a hard one, right? Because if I'm sitting in the commissioner's chair with the demographics that we just described, I would not be advising my candidate to debate in that situation.
All right.
I'm sure that Dr. Averhart would be willing to do that if he had the opportunity, but I find that very highly unlikely.
All right, some good information. We appreciate your time with us, Robert.
Hey, you guys have a good week. We'll talk soon.
All right, that's Robert Kennedy Jr. And coming up, we head over to the Lagniappe offices and talk with Rob Holbert right here on Mobile Mornings. All right, 8:38, and as we continue hour number three here of Mobile Mornings, you got Dalton Orwig and Leanna in studio with me today as Sean takes a little time off after those elections on Tuesday. I mean, it's been a run over these last few months, attack ad after attack ad, and mm-hmm. it all came to a conclusion on Tuesday, and who better to talk about these runoff elections than with the man behind Lagniappe Mobile, Rob Holbert, joins us now. Morning, Rob.
Good morning. And first of all, I want to get a little bit of credit. Last week, I said that I thought that the voting was going to be, you know, somewhere closer to 15% or whatever, mm-hmm. and Sean just laughed in my face, right?
I was laughing, too. You said 15 to 20%, and I was the lowest among all the guessers here at FM Talk 106.5. My cynicism said that 5% would turn out, and I was way off. You were right on, I think, 17.6% turnout for Alabama. I didn't expect it, but clearly you knew something heading into the elections.
It's just a guess. number snatched out of the air. I don't know. Just a feeling.
Well, it was
Yeah, it was. I think the turnout or the results of the election weren't anything terribly surprising to anybody.
Yeah. And it ended up being a rout. I mean, I was surprised at how quickly they called the race for Tuberville over Sessions. I mentioned it earlier, but polls ended at 7, and this Decision Desk HQ, which I guess is the new place we need to be looking at, that and Bob Grip have the results quickest normally. But
Bob's still lightning. He's still lightning fast.
He has got some Twitter fingers, let me tell you. He can tweet fast.
He must have some people locked up in a basement to get that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's like a hostage situation. I don't know how he's doing it.
Yeah, no idea. But they called it 32 minutes after polls closed. That's how big of a win this was for Tuberville. Over 100,000 votes he won by.
Yeah, I think that's technically known as a political curb stomping. That was just a curb stomp. It was bad, man. I mean, it's especially when you think about the fact that you've got a guy the guy who loses and gets 36% of the vote is somebody who was a U.S. senator for 20 years and the U.S. attorney general. Mm-hmm. I have felt from the beginning that this was going to be, when Tuberville got in, I've said this before, I think he has a lot of advantages the others didn't have. As far as Sessions going, I guess there was a feeling from a lot of people that, hey, he's going to come back in and just walk back into his office, but electability and popularity are not necessarily the same thing. Mm-hmm. And we always look at people who are in office and say, boy, they're really popular because they won the race again. And but you also have to look at who's running against them, or if anybody's running against them. And I don't think he faced any real challenge for a long time. And so when they're all back out, I didn't really think there was a lot there that Sessions brought back to the table. Having the president mm-hmm. on his case the whole time didn't help him at all. So, I mean, he was kind of doomed from the beginning.
Yeah, and with the president's endorsement of Tuberville, which I think was more of an anti-endorsement of Sessions, I heard so many people saying going into Tuesday, and even I think I said it, that Alabamians can't be told who to vote for. You know, we'll support who we support, but when it comes time to vote, we kind of make up our own minds. And even Sessions picked up that rallying cry here over the last few weeks. But then you look at the state map where Sessions picked up 3 counties and really only barely won Mobile County. I mean, he pulled in the most numbers in Madison County. It looks like Alabamians pretty much followed the president's lead. Or was that, on all Alabamians' own volition, that they liked Tuberville as a candidate better?
I'm going to say this. I think the president followed Alabamians' lead. I don't think he would have endorsed him, if he thought that there was a chance he would lose that race. I don't think after what happened with Luther Strange that Trump was going to step out again and endorse somebody who loses. I just don't think you would have seen a really strong endorsement from Trump if it wasn't very clear in all the polling that Tuberville was way ahead. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't believe that the presidential that, you know, his, you know, him getting in the race made a giant difference. It just made it tougher for Sessions to get much traction. It didn't help, certainly. And it, you know, this is a state that is still very pro-Trump, and I certainly it did help him to some extent, but I don't think it was a difference maker. I don't think it had enough to, you know, get him a 20% victory, a 20-point victory.
Yeah.
I think we know that it was going into it that Tuberville was going to win.
And I do want to get into the Tuberville v. Jones race here in a minute. But first, something that I've been wondering, of course, Sessions spent decades as a senator here in Alabama. It was, I guess, kind of a surprise, kind of not really a surprise that he jumped into the Senate race. But where do you think that leaves his political career now? I mean, is it time to hang it up and just enjoy his life as a regular American citizen, or do you think he's got more political aspirations?
I think he should go fishing. That's what I think he should do. I mean, that's my personal belief. When you get that 36% in a Republican primary, I think it's time to go fishing. Mm. You know, he's done a lot. That's good. I mean, I know people are going to say, oh, gosh, you're down on Sessions. It's not that. I just, you know, reality is I just don't think there's a lot of political viability. And on top of that, you know, there's room. We need to make room in the world for new people to come in and do something. You know, we've got a fairly senior governor at this point. We have a Sessions is in his 70s. There's time for some other folks to come in, and there's a lot of other voices out there, I think, that could serve the state.
Well, you know, if he follows the lead of so many others that worked in the Trump White House and then were either evicted or left on their own, he might be writing a book coming up here soon about his time with President Trump. So I don't know if that's on the horizon.
It would probably be a smart thing for him. He'd probably do pretty well with it. I think there's probably a lot of folks who'd like to hear an unvarnished Sessions. He would have to drop the rollover and scratch my belly attitude he's had with Trump so far to make it worth reading, but hopefully he would.
Yeah, and if he were to do that, I would venture to say that of all the books that have come out, from Omarosa to who have you, John Bolton, I think Sessions' book would probably get the most buys just because he spent so much time with the president. I mean, he basically helped lead the campaign going into 2016. That would be a heck of an interesting read coming from the former attorney general.
I think it would be as well. It probably, if he really was an unvarnished approach to it, you'd probably get some very interesting information.
Yeah, well, let's break down what we've got coming up here in November, and that's now Tuberville versus the sitting senator Doug Jones. And I mentioned this with Robert Kennedy just about a half an hour ago. The Democrats did not wait long to pounce on attacking Tuberville after the announcement of the win. I don't know if you saw on Twitter, the Alabama Democratic Party were going after everything from where Tuberville lives to his record as a head coach for the Auburn Tigers. I mean, this race is going to get nasty, and I think it's going to get a lot of national attention, too.
Yeah, it's definitely going to get a lot of national attention. I mean, when you have Club for Growth pour $1 million into this district, can you imagine how much outside money is going to pour into the state over probably the most vulnerable Democratic senator there is, in a state that has traditionally been a Republican stronghold? I've got to think you're going to have a lot of outside money. I still say that, you know, to me, Tuberville is at this point going to be very difficult to beat. And I think that's going to be the case. It is. He's an attractive candidate, regardless of all the other things, the nitpicking stuff. And, we say, we get calls all the time about where our city council people live. You know, that's constant. You know, I mean, we've had to do stories on where do some city council people live. There's nothing illegal about having a house in another state, or there's nothing. You know, this happens pretty commonly at this point, where somebody comes into a state and moves in, and the law allows you to run. It doesn't require that you have a house there for 40 years, and so that clearly didn't make any big difference in the primary, and you know. I was listening to Mr. Kennedy earlier about almost a wishful thought that people aren't going to show up to vote, and I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, it's a presidential year.
Yeah.
Counting on low turnout in presidential year, I, good luck. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Especially when that president is Donald Trump. And we've seen how Alabamians support Trump. And you're right. Jones had a lot going for him when he earned that Senate seat. I mean, it was a special election, so the president wasn't on the ballot. But on top of that, you had all the things come out with Roy Moore prior to. And unless Tuberville has some dirt that rivals that, I mean, Quinn Hillier's been on. We've had plenty of discussions about the hedge fund with Tuberville. But we talk often that unless there's sex, murder, or mystery, it really doesn't turn votes that often.
Well, you know, the hedge fund thing again, and you look at it and say, okay, well, you know, if he lost money on it, and he's, you know, I don't know what the ultimate answer is on that, but they didn't charge him with anything. They didn't arrest him. It looks like he lost money overall as well. Now, that may change if somebody finds differently, but I still think that's not a terribly sexy program. You know, the Republican Party voted for John McCain, and he was one of the Keating Five. I don't think that those things are that they stand. You know, that's one of those things that, like you said, it's not really sexy enough to get a lot of people's attention. You know, I mean, there are a lot. I think Senator Jones has been a good senator in terms of doing the things that he said he would do. I think he's the person he says he is. He is dogmatically Democratic, and I think that doesn't mesh with Alabama's voters in general. You know, when he's come in and talked to us, he's a very nice man and he's a bright guy, but he didn't say anything that surprised me from the standpoint of where he is as a Democrat, and he is dogmatically Democratic. And he's going to go out of his way to make, to talk about abortion, and that it doesn't fly in the state, and it's a big issue.
Right.
So I think it's a tough one. I mean, I think it's a tough one for him to retain it, honestly.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes, obviously, on the election, and we're just here at the very beginning. So, we've got a good 4 more months of Jones and Tuberville talk, and I'm sure we'll continue to discuss that right here on Mobile Mornings. Coming back, Rob, I want to talk about the other big race, the AL1 congressional runoff for the Republicans, and what it means for Jerry Carl coming out with the win. And also, Governor Ivey yesterday makes a statewide mask ordinance. We'll get into that and more coming up. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5. Hey, thank you, Kane. 5 minutes till 9 and wrapping up hour number 3 of Mobile Mornings. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5, and we're talking with Rob Hulbert, the man behind Lanyap. And Rob, I voted and voted and voted until the time to vote ended, and now you're tallying the votes for the 2020 nappies. So I'm sure you got, millions of votes this year?
We did. We got well over a million votes. I mean, that's individual clicks. I'm not saying we had a million people. We had, you know, I think 40 or 50,000 people that voted.
Wow.
But you know, they did over a million votes, and this is the biggest vote total we've had yet. It was a big year of voting. So and the people who've won are being notified, and we're getting it all together. I don't think we're going to be able to have the big nappy party at Sanger. I'm certain we can't because of all the COVID stuff. So I don't know how we're going to celebrate, but we're going to try to figure out some way to celebrate it.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to hear the results. I think now that depends on the results. If I don't hear what I like, then maybe I'll change my tune. But looking forward to hearing about who won all those awesome awards. And speaking of winning, I want to get into this. Jerry Carl beats Bill Hightower in the AL1 runoff on Tuesday, just by about 4,000 votes. And really, it was Mobile County that came through for Carl.
Yeah, I mean, what it says to me is that the just ridiculous amount of negative advertising that, and it was, I know both had negative advertising, but the Club for Action Growth that dumped so much money in here for Hightower. I think you see in all the other counties, Hightower won, and so in the counties where they both worked and where they both served, Carl crushed Hightower in that regard. So I think when you looked at it, you have to say in the areas where they worked and people knew them, Carl did very well and he won handily. In the other areas where people didn't know them, I think those ads were very effective, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Club for Growth, they end up batting 2-for-3 on Tuesday with huge wins for Tuberville and then Barry Moore beating Jeff Coleman in the AL2 district. Now, I do wonder with Carl's win and how much money they poured into that race, if Club for Growth will kind of reevaluate how they look at our area for the next time this comes up.
I guess, you know, it's just it's an amazing amount of money to dump in. And, I mean, you know, some of the ads were really so over the top. And just, you know, I found them extraordinarily distasteful. And I really think that I think it were very – for me personally, they were a big negative. I will say that. I found them to be very negative. I didn't think it was somewhere that they would end up going in this race. And, you know, these are both two smart guys, and I would really love to hear them talk a whole lot more about what they want to do than make up stupid stuff about each other. And, you know, I thought those ads from Club for Growth were just really obscene.
Yeah, no doubt. And we've run out of time, Rob. Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
All right, Alton. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That's Rob Hobert. Pick up the latest edition of Lanyap on Streets Now and lanyapmobile.com. Coming up, the Mike Gallagher Show.